Tony Campolo here, inviting you to listen for the next several minutes, actually the next 26 and a half minutes, to Shane Claiborne and me. I'm Tony Campolo, and the name of our show is From Across the Pond. We call it that because we put the show together on the other side of the Atlantic. And while this show is broadcast across the United Kingdom, it's actually put together in St. David's, Pennsylvania, in the studios of Cabrini University, which sits just across the road from Eastern University. Both of these are Christian schools. Cabrini is a Roman Catholic school. Eastern is evangelical. I think it's better to call it a red-letter Christian school because we're really trying to be faithful to the teachings of Jesus. His teachings are highlighted in red letters in many of the old Bibles. That's why we call ourselves red-letter Christians, because the word evangelical has collected a lot of negative baggage. When you say evangelical, people say, oh, you're unreservedly supportive of Donald Trump, because 82% of evangelical, white evangelicals, I have to be careful, white evangelicals voted for Donald Trump. Are you in that school of thought that is anti-gay, anti-women, anti-environmentalist? Are you in that school of thought that is anti-immigrant? And we're saying, no, that's not us. Are you a red letter? Are you red letter Christians like other evangelicals? We have an evangelical theology. We believe in the doctrines of the Apostles' Creed. We have a high view of Scripture, believing that the writers of Scripture were imbued by the Holy Spirit, and what they wrote is an infallible guide for faith and practice. We believe in salvation comes by having a personal relationship with the resurrected Jesus. But we're not into all of that right-wing ideological stuff that has become synonymous with evangelicalism in many people's minds. Shane is the face of that movement. He is the leader of that movement. And Shane, you're going to tell us about the Red Letter Revival, which is coming up in just a few days. Yeah. Tell us about it, where and when and how and why it's so important.
Well, first of all, I think there's a lot of wonderful faces that are a part of our movement. In fact, if you go on our website, one of my favorite parts, redletterchristians.org, is you click on people and you see all these incredible folks that are speakers and writers that are preaching Jesus and justice. And we thought, wow, we got all these great posts on our blog and all these wonderful things on the website, but why don't we get together in real time, in person? And that's where these revivals came from. We thought, you know, let's gather together and talk about Jesus and justice for a few days. And, you know, as we studied, Tony, as we've looked at the old school evangelicals, which it's important to remember that the core of the word evangelical is evangel, which means good news. Even though much of what looks passes as evangelical these days doesn't look like good news at all. Often doesn't look much like Jesus. And so it's our love for Jesus that has put us at odds with many of the things that evangelicalism has become known as. But we want to have a constructive program. We don't want to just react to whatever crazy thing that Pat Robertson or Jerry Falwell says. We want to proclaim Jesus and allow people to dedicate their lives to Jesus and justice. So we had our first one earlier this year. Our first revival was in Lynchburg, Virginia. And we chose that place very intentionally because we were on the kind of doorsteps of one of the largest Christian universities in the world, Liberty University, which incidentally also has a drone training center for military drone operators and one of the most state-of-the-art gun shooting ranges in the country. And so we wanted to gather there to grieve that and to seek Jesus and pray together. And we also were being led by students and alumni of Liberty that said, we want this college, this Christian college, to be known more for its love for Jesus than its love for Trump. And the president there,
you know,
Jerry
Donald
Falwell,
Trump spoke as the commencement speaker last year.
Yeah.
And millions of dollars were raised because of that to support the university.
And interestingly enough, I don't think he mentioned Jesus a single time. So this is part of the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we had a great gathering there. But we now are doing our next revival in Dallas, Texas. And Dallas has, as I'm learning, because we got an amazing host committee there of over 30 pastors and leaders, community organizers, and they're helping gather us there. But there's a whole history to Dallas. Of course, it's on the border of the United States or close to the border. So the immigration issues, we just had Botham was killed there. Botham Jean was a African-American man. He was a pastor, actually, in Texas, killed in his own home by a police officer that raided his house. And so these issues are there. So we want to gather. It's also the home of Robert Jeffers, which is the pastor of First Baptist Church, where Tony, he's been one of the great or very public defenders of Donald Trump, and has even said, like, God's intervening in this moment through Donald Trump to write history. They have a choir there that's the Make America Great Again Choir, and so we're there to go. No, I'm pretty sure Make America Great Again was never meant to be a worship song, but we want to challenge this kind of American nationalism that camouflages itself as Christianity, and we want to lift up Jesus. So we got an amazing gathering. So it's on November 16th and 17th, and I know a lot of y'all are listening from the UK and around the world. But we're going to hopefully have it live streamed, and we're going to have all the sermons posted. You can catch all the sermons from Lynchburg now, over 20 sermons. We know because we listened to all of them, didn't we? But they're online, and we'll have Reverend William Barber, who has been on this show. And
the
he's
new
a
Martin
friend.
Luther King, and many people say he's the new voice who has taken the position that Martin Luther King once occupied.
Yeah, he's kind of pioneered and rejuvenated the Poor People's Campaign of Martin Luther King, and he's an incredible guy. So he's going to be there in Dallas.
Incredibly articulate.
Yeah, and Alexia Salvatierra, who is an amazing leader, is organized around a lot of things, but recently around immigration, and she's going to be really bringing that to the conversation. Alicia Crosby, who's been on this show, and Jackie Lewis, Reverend Jackie Lewis from New York. So we got some powerhouses. And then we've got the local folks who are, Pastor Freddie Haynes is a legend around the country. He's a great preacher, so he's going to be there with us. So anyway, you don't want to miss this. If you can get to Dallas, Texas on November 16th, you should. Some of our listeners are in the U.S.
16th and 17th.
16th
it's a two-day thing.
Yeah. But more than anything, I think what we also feel right now is that we need to invite people into discipleship of Jesus, into making life commitments. And Tony, that's one of the things that you've done so well is give these old school altar calls.
Yeah.
And you're the one that's taught me about kind of the origin of some of those.
Yeah.
But they were faith commitments. They were commitments to personally invite Jesus into our lives, but they were more than that. They were also a commitment to reorient our lives to care about justice, weren't they?
Yeah, the concept of the invitation,
the
altar call, which Billy Graham made famous. I mean, Billy Graham, a generation ago, went to London and had a series of meetings that went on night after night after night, inviting people down the aisle to commit their lives to Jesus Christ. The invitation, inviting people down the aisle to be counseled, to be prayed with. That was part of the Billy Graham motif, but it originated with Charles Finney. As a matter of fact, if you go to the Billy Graham Museum at Wheaton College in Wheaton, Illinois, there's a whole museum to glorify the greatness of a great evangelist, Billy Graham. And the first thing you encounter when you walk into that museum is a life-size image of Charles Finney, who Billy Graham acknowledges is the founder of modern evangelism. When you came down the aisle and gave your life to Christ, he took the people who made decisions in the back room, and there was prayer, there was counseling as to what this all means, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And then there were two tables. One was the table for the anti-slave movement, because he was conducting his meetings in the early 1800s in the United States when the anti-slave movement was just getting into high gear. And also there was a table for the feminist movement. And he told people, you need to be aware that God is at work in America. And right now in America, there are two places where we see God at work, in the abolition of slavery and in the movement to champion women's rights. And if you're going to be a Christian, you want to be part of what God is doing in the country right here and right now. And here are two ways that you can identify with the work of God in the world, specifically in the world of the United States of America right here and now. Mm-hmm. Sign up over there.
Yeah.
You know, Donald Trump has made as his campaign this line, make America great again. Make America great again. That's interesting, because the first time the greatness of America was made popular was by a sociologist, a journalist, who came to America right after the turn of the century, as we went into the 1800s. And the guy's name was Alexis de Tocqueville. Remember, when you were in my class.
I feel like I'm going to have a test after this.
Yeah, Alexis de Tocqueville. Here's the great line. He said, America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. We have to raise the question, is America good? There's a good question. Well, and Alexis de Tocqueville calls us to accountability on this score. Go ahead.
And I think you also, we hear this as white folks through a certain lens as well. You know, was America good to Native folks? You know, was America good to Black folks, even when de Tocqueville's, talking about this?
He was blind to the fact that in the Declaration of Independence, Native American Indians were referred to as savages.
Yes, and African Americans were 2/3 human, and in the Dred Scott case,
and that's
in our
Constitution,
our
Constitution,
major cases that said Black folks don't have any rights that white people are obliged to uphold. You know, the Dred Scott case. So these are I heard our one of the great preachers in our country, Dr. Otis Moss III. He said, when was America great? If we're talking about making it great again, as a Black preacher, he says, was it in the 1920s? You know, was it in the 1950s? Was it in the 80s? And so I think that's why we also see, I think, so many white nationalists, that this is coded language, sometimes not even that coded, that is saying, make America white again. Like, what we're really talking about is some deep racial issues that we haven't told the truth about history and healed from it. So we see that. And one of the truest things I've heard about Donald Trump is Van Jones once said that he's a great commentator. And Van said, Donald Trump didn't change America. He just revealed America. And Donald Trump isn't changing white evangelicalism. He's revealing it. And what he's revealing is really troubling. So one of the things that's we feel really exciting about these red letter revivals that we're doing, and this one's going to be in Dallas, November 16th and 17th, but we're hoping to, we've got our eyes on Boone, North Carolina, where Franklin Graham is, and, other folks that have been voices defending much of the things that Donald Trump has stood
for. And to find out about this revival, go to our website, redletterchristians.org. You'll get the information of where and when this is taking place, how you can come and be a part of it. You can sign on. There's a place where you can sign on and say, I can't be at the revival, but I want to identify myself as a red-letter Christian. I want to take Jesus seriously.
Yeah, and some of y'all that might have a few dollars to throw into the thing, each one of these we're trying to raise about $20,000 because we want it to be free. We want it not to be people that are paying to come to a conference where they already agreed to everything, but people who might come because they're leaning in to Jesus and they're not Christians, or folks that are leaning into justice and they may have been raised in the church, but they haven't connected their faith to immigration or racial justice. So We'll get back to that, but thanks for joining us, all y'all listening in out there. This is Shane Claiborne and Tony Campolo, and our show is across the pond because we're over here outside of Philadelphia recording it, but we've got wonderful folks like you and in the UK and around the world that are listening. And this week, we've been talking about our newest initiative, which are actually our first public events that we've done within Red Letter Christians. And we're doing revivals around the country. The next one is in Dallas, Texas, November 16th and 17th. Pretty sure we're going to have all that live streamed for you, and we're surely going to have it archived. But if you can make it to Dallas, make it. If not, join us online. And one of the things that we've noticed, Tony, right, is that some of the loudest voices of Christianity haven't been the most beautiful voices. It's when it comes to representing Jesus and the things that Jesus cares about. And so one of the things that we're challenging are those particularly white evangelical voices that have monopolized the airwaves and really defined what Christianity looks like and conflated Christianity with supporting Donald Trump. And so many of the speakers that we have are women and leaders of color, incredible preachers and communicators, but they're not the televangelists that have the big bucks necessarily.
And we want to say at this point that while we are critiquing Donald Trump and the Republican Party, we want it to be clear that Jesus is neither a Republican nor a Democrat. We look at the Democratic Party and we see so many flaws there, so many shortcomings, so many failures. What we are endeavoring to do is say Jesus stands above political ideologies. Jesus is neither a Democrat or a Republican, or over in the United Kingdom, Jesus is not a member of the Conservative Party or the Labor Party. He is not a member of the Conservative Party. He stands above all principalities, all powers, all dominions, and he comes with judgment, a good and loving judgment. He loves both parties. He loves the first chapter of Galatians, the first chapter of Corinthians says he is the creator. Colossians says he created the principalities and powers. He loves these political parties, but he comes with judgment and says, you must conform to a standard that's higher than your party platform. And he holds up the Sermon on the Mount, the 5th, the 6th, the 7th chapters of Matthew. Go and read them. Mahatma Gandhi, use the Sermon on the Mount, the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapter of Matthew as the hallmark of his movement in India. These words of Jesus in the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapter of Matthew, called the Sermon on the Mount, is our standard of truth. We want to live according to those principles. We want to live out the Sermon on the Mount. Gandhi said, everybody knows what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, except for Christians. We want to change that. We want to start a Christian movement called the Red Letter Christians Movement, in which it will be said, those people are not perfect, but they're trying their best to live out the teachings of Jesus as outlined in the Sermon on the Mount.
And it's worth mentioning that our friend Ash Barker, who has been on this show and has been a core part of Red Letter Christians, is launching this movement over in the UK. And perhaps, I think we've got friends in Peru and Brazil and other places where this is really resonating. And, you know, it's worth remembering this, the Red Letter Christian thing for us came when our friend Jim Wallace was being interviewed, interestingly enough, by a secular country music DJ in Nashville, Tennessee, my home state, down south. And the guy said to Jim, he said, you know, I've read the Bible, and there's parts of it that I love. There's parts of it that I find confusing or troubling, but I've always liked the stuff in red. You guys seem to like this stuff in red. You should call yourselves Red Letter Christians. Of course, he's talking about the words of Jesus. And so that resonated with us because when we're doing these revivals, we actually are preaching Jesus. And we think that the best critique of what's gone wrong in this toxic Christianity in our country is the best critique of that is Jesus. And if we really come back and start reading the words of Jesus again, that's why some of us have said evangelicalism needs to be born again. You know, we need whether we like that name or not, we really do need a Christianity that looks like Jesus again. So make sure you keep an eye on the revivals and keep an eye on what's happening over there in the UK and in other countries. And let's all keep reading the words of Jesus like Gandhi did. He read the Sermon on the Mount every morning. Let's read it and say, what if Jesus really meant the stuff he said? So we're going to be in Dallas. We're going to give an altar call, yeah, huh?
That's right. And, you know, you mentioned Reverend Jeffords, and his church has won huge numbers of people to Jesus Christ as Lord, Savior, and God. Please, when we critique Reverend Jeffords and what he says and does, we are got to affirm that this man has called people to the altar to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So we're not putting down his call to commit to Christ. What we are raising is the question as to whether or not he ought to be endorsing Donald Trump. As a matter of fact, we don't think you ought to endorse any particular candidate. We think we need to, in fact, say Jesus is above it all.
And what's striking right now is that a lot of people are seeing these contradictions in our Christianity. And I mean, for me growing up in the South, in the Bible Belt, I began to realize that the same people who led me to Jesus have led us to Donald Trump and continue to defend things that are indefensible and contradict Jesus on almost every level. Like I think of even things that evangelicals have stood for in the past, marital fidelity, you know, purity. These things, Donald Trump betrays those almost daily. I mean, even just things that we expect of our kids, like decency, don't call people horse face. Don't call entire countries S-holes, and you know, like the insulting the language, like you just, when you think of the fruits of the Spirit, they are these things, says the scripture: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Those are the things that God is like. And it's not our job to judge whether Donald Trump is a Christian or not, but we are able to say a tree is known by its fruit, and from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And these are very concerning things when Christians are defending things that are very un-Christ-like. I mean, Donald Trump himself has said, I could kill someone, I could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue, and people would still support me. And the thing is, he's right about that. You know?
let me just bring out what you brought out in an earlier time, and that is recently the world was horrified when a journalist who was from, I believe he was from Turkey, was murdered.
He was a permanent U.S. resident.
Yeah. Was murdered, right, in the Saudi embassy. And the question was, what should we do about this? And Pat Robertson, one of the leading evangelical leaders in this country, said, well, we shouldn't go too hard on this because, after all, Turkey is about to...
Saudi Arabia,
is about to spend $100 billion buying U.S. arms, tanks, planes, and guns. I mean, think of how many jobs are involved in producing those things. $100 billion worth of sales would go down the drain if we go too hard on Saudi Arabia. And we're saying...
To say you ignore a murder to defend an arms deal is very problematic to those who worship the Prince of Peace.
Here's
right?
The interesting thing is, I heard one of the commentators on CNN say, is this the sort of thing that Jesus would do?
Wow.
Yeah. When a secular... A commentator raises the question, we have to ask what this is all about. We're near the end of our show. Do you want to wrap this thing up and give the invitation
to Dallas?
Let's give
an altar call. We really want you to keep track of our gathering just here in a few days in Dallas, Texas. Be praying for us. And more than anything, we hope we see people who commit their lives to Jesus and commit their lives to pursuing the justice that Jesus talks so much about. And whether or not you can make it to Dallas, join us on our website, redletterchristians.org. And there's a place where you can sign up, where you can say, yes, I commit my life to Jesus and justice and to seeking first the kingdom of God. You can do that by taking a pledge on our website. So let us see that kingdom of God that Jesus talked about almost every time he opened his mouth. It wasn't just something that we go up to when we die, but something we bring on earth while we live. So as you live this week, seek first the kingdom of God and ask how you might participate in bringing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Thanks for joining us. This is Shane Claiborne and Tony Campolo across the pond. We're on every week at this time, so we'll join you next week, and go to our website and check it all out, redletterchristians.org.